צורצים בפניהם. These are the Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lufneihem Asher Place Lufneihem Parish of Be'ela Mishpatim. Rashi says, "Kol Mogu Shenema Eila Posel as a Rishoyna is Be'ela Moisev al Rishoyna. Ma Rishoyna Misinai af Eila Misinai." Although this was Parish of the Dinim, the Parish of Mizbeach, what's the connection between Parish of Dinim and Parish of Mizbeach? We ended up Parish of Yisrael and the Inim of Mizbeach. Also, Loim Alachosh, Tosim Sanhedrin, Eifron Migdash, that the Sanhedrin who judges Dinei Mishpat should be near, next to the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Beach with the Arigirti. Rashi tells us that the word Be'eva to tell us Marishonim Misinai of Eilam Misinai. What's the Toshib Shad over here? What do you mean, Maharishonim Misinai of Eilam Misinai? Well, why were we thinking this deal? Well, the Torah is written here. Eilam Misinai. What is this Misinai? Actually, the spot is not Misinai. Rashi goes into right into the same Rashi, and it goes into another topic. But the Chora looks like it has no connection to the first part of Rashi. The Lama Nisuch of Parshas Dinin, Parshas Mizbeach. So what's the connection? What we just spoke about? That's just new Kashi now. There's no Shaykh. That's what he asked before. What was the Nisuch of Parshas Dinin, Parshas Mizbeach? What is the Chora? She taught him Sanhedrin Eitzel Hamikdash, and she's paced the Sanhedrin. Eitzel HaMikdash. The Sanhedrin should sit next to the Mikdash. This is exactly the connection. There was no real remnant to this in connection to this thing. Rashi throws in the same Rashi. Let's understand exactly what's going on over here. And what's the Vosh? Toss him Sanhedrin. Why does the Sanhedrin talk after being next to Amit Beach or the one says it? One of the Sanhedrin, the Chor, that's Torah, that's Avodah. Two different things. Sanhedrin is Torah. Mizbeach is Avodah. What's the connection between the two? She taught him with Nehem. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Lota LeAldar Kulam Eshnan Perek and Halacha Beinu Berachomim Asher Shtur B'Fiyem. I'll just tell you over two or three times until it's Shtur B'Fiyem. Kishnos Levin Matshir Alin Lavin and Tamei Hadava. Moshe shouldn't think that he shouldn't have to explain the reason it's for us. Achachno Asher Tosu B'Fneihem Kishulchan Ha'orach U'muchan Lechol L'Fnei Odom. Shabbeinu has to put the Mishpatim She taught him with name and has to be put in front of them like a shulchan aruch that's mucha lechol. It has to be mamish. They can put it in their mouth and be smooth and gishmak and understood. The shulchan aruch is like a table that's set and prepared, it's ready to be eaten off. What's the significance of that? Why is that? That a tzibur? I should toss him with Nehem. Torah has to be in a surah. It has to be given over in a way that's mamish, mucha lecho, that's understanding. It. Vaitim Rashi, Lisneam, the Lord, the Snail, we can call him Matan. So the Torah Akdoisha should place it in front of them and not in front of Goyim. Even though in the courts, the Goyish courts, the Supreme Court, you know that they judge the same way as Klal. Don't bring it to the courts. Don't take your judicial cases to the courts. Maybe to the show of the Oyek Chom Azoz Mechal as Hashem will make us Hashem Alekim Lashpichom. You're going to show, you can covet to the Goyim. The Pasuk Darshins Lufneim, that the Mishpotim Asher Tosim Lufneim has to be that the Klal Yisrael. First of the Mishpatim, we would think the Torah is now going to say the Mishpatim of the Torah. The Torah starts off the parish of Mishpatim and have many, many dinim. You would think that the parish starts off and Kesef Tal Vesami as on Imach, people that loan money. We would start off with the Halak of Parashias. Of Shemechinom, people that do toivis with people, Shemasachma, the Shoimrim. Here the Torah starts with the Mishpatim, we were just told about the Cheshivas of Mishpatim, Kisikna, Evid Ivri, Sheshom Yavod, Vashvias, Yet, talk about Evid Ivri, that was stole. Yeah, they didn't show who they bought. So it's about a guy who stole. A guy who did the worst thing, did the worst ma'isa. So he said, sell him into slavery and all the halachas over the Eben Ivri. Chora needs beer. We're talking in the Mishpatim already. The Alta Mikelm of Simchus Yisrael already. It's over on the Shailen. His Mahalach wants to say that the Torah that Dvarim is, the Torah is Av Leben, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the father, with his children, and the Mele, he's worried about every child. But this is what we want to say, talk about another, a little bit more. It's an oifen. Medrash this week's parasha, the Meridik and Medrash, Ve'elam Ashpotim Ashatotim Lefneyam, Chazal bring a Meridik and Medrash. The Medrash Tanchuma said as a Magid Rav Yaakov, Chukum Ashpotim Shalom Yosachem Lechol Goy, Akiva Sageb and Achoyshu Shantrinius and Yavakis Lizgaya. The Maestro, some say this is referring to Uncle was a ger, but there was a person that was a ger, the one in this guy. He was Ben Achish on Drinus, the Kesar, and he was worried from his uncle. So he said, I want to go do business. You know, sneak away. I want to go do business. You know how you come to the Shiva, you want to go out somewhere else. He goes, yeah, I have to go learn another base measure somewhere else. So, you know. But here he said, you want to do business. He said, maybe you're missing money? No, I want to go to Chutzot, I want to know later Das Abriyas. What should I do? So he said, any business that you see very low, very, very shvel, it's selling very low, go into it, it's probably going to go up. The stock's going to go up. That was the aid he got from his uncle, and he said on his way for a business trip. Alikas Ager came to Eretz Yisrael and he started to learn Torah. That's what he really wanted to do. So they came to him, after a while of Lezer Yeshua see him, and he sees his face mishtanes, he's very upset. Amru Lezer Lezer Lekiris Lomit Torah. So the Maisa, he I'm sorry, his face changed color. He changed. He became different. So the Maisa, Chazal tell us that the B'Seva Shel Tova, he went to learn Torah, and he got into it, and his face became that he became looked different. The kids, his face changed, and he looked different. His ponim became a different ponim. And he went back to his uncle, and he said, and his uncle saw him, Mamish looked totally different. He looked at it, there was a shine on his face. His uncle said, "What happened?" So he said, "I learned Torah. Not only that, I mouthed myself." So he said, "Who told you to do such a thing?" He said, "You did. Didn't you? I asked you what to do, how to make a profit business venture, and you told me, go find someone that's low in the world, people that are not marching, and go into it. There's no lower nation in the world, the eyes of the world. And you hit in, but the Sefer La'aloi says, Chazal tell us. Later on, he asked him, so why did you mouth? Say, you want to learn Torah, so why did you mouth yourself? Look there. That I couldn't understand the Torah until I mouthed. Mishpatim by Yudom, until I went and mouthed myself. Mishpatim by Yudom, we say it every day. The Mishpatim are unknown to the Goyim. Why are they unknown? They don't have a Musaq in the Mishpat. When I went to mouth myself, and I became full fledged Yid, and through the Mila, I became Mamish, 100% a Yid. Then it was Shaykh to understand better and to understand the Mishpat HaTorah. We have to understand the connection between Mila and especially to understand the Mishpat HaTorah, as we'll see later on. Always come the kushes and the sugi and the parish of Boisai. But these stories you want to say to Boisai to understand these stories of Rashi here and these stories, which needs a very, very big beer. Because L'chor we have to understand the Gemara in Yuma says, what's Mishpatim and what's Chukim? Chukim are Dvarim that are not really understood. If you are Seichel or Adam, Shatnez. For Aduma, Chazal say that even Shemal Melech, BK, Shleida, what the Indian of Per Aduma is, when they march, the Hoyrim become Tmeim, the Tmeim become Tehoyrim, that understood if he says, Adam, those are the Chukim. But the Mishpatim, the Gemara says, are things that we understand. Lechoy, they're moral codes. A Mishpat is something that we can understand, we have a Havani. That's why Moshe has to explain it to them also. You have to have Avon in it. But the Shaila is, if that's the Pshat, that's the Chetz of Mishpatim, so what's the Pshat? That the Goyim can't understand it, L'chor, the legal moral codes. The end of this week's parasha, we have the famous quote. Everybody thinks it's in parashas Yitzchak, so it's a mistake. It's the one thing you learn today. Now you can take a nap and go to sleep, and we'll wake you up at the end. We'll get everybody up for that. Anyway, the famous pasuk that everybody says, "Vayanu kol ha'om yaftov na'aseh v'nishma." The famous pasuk of that everybody says, we sing it sometimes. We go, "Oh, kol ha'om," everybody can say, "Very nice." Now, go back to the chips. But Na'aseh v'nishma, everybody called Chaisel got together and said Na'aseh v'nishma Rabbeisai. This was one of the most greatest expressions in the history of the universe, Rabbeisai. And when Klal Yisrael said those words of Naas Eben Nishma, that sent off an explosion, that was the Ma'aseh of Kabbalat HaTorah. That sent into effect that the Yidden became the chosen nation. We became the chosen people with that. But more so, with that, the world came in to being in its fullest. It finally got to its kiyum, as Chazal tells, Breishis, Bishvil Toi, Bishvil Reishis, that the whole world was mitla tola until the sixth day of Sivan, when Saul Klaiso said those words, those magical, majestical words, that came down two crowns of the Malachim who heard these words from the human beings. Malachim came down and tied crowns, two crowns, to the heads of Klal Yisrael. One for Naz, one for Nishma. They became crowns, but not by Stam, some jelly belly guy who happens to be a prime minister. He crowned the king. Malachim came down and crowned each one of Klal Yisrael with two crowns. Echad connected Nasa and Echad connected Nishma. Ayin Beis Halevi had two crowns, but they were crowned at one time. They became kings at one time. They not only went to kings, but they became kings. Became kings of Oisat. What's the pshat? What's the godness of the words Naas Eben Nishma of Oisat? What's the expression of Naas Eben Nishma of Oisat so great? We have to understand of Oisat, to understand all this. The Eza Hashem is Boach. There's a theme running through this whole Yisoid, I hope. Or else the shmuz won't come out, but there's a theme I think running through the whole Yisoid over here, by side. A theme running through this mahalik to understand and to really daher it, Rabbi Yisai. To really understand it, we have to realize, and we have to come out of our cockiness a little bit. To understand that the Yisoid of the Mishpatim were not Stam moral codes, were not Stam a way of life, was not Stam social law and order, but much deeper than that. The Mishpatim of Hashem represent something much more deeper than just a way of being able to discipline, a way to be able to keep that the world will not, as the Mishnah says, everybody will eat up his own. If there was no fear of, there was no fear of a government, there was no fear of a memshala, people would swallow each other up. That's all true. But Mishpatim are much more deeper than that. Mishpatim represent godliness. Mishpatim represent a way of life that takes into account that a human being was created in the image of Hashem. That we're not Stam, flesh and blood. That a human is not Stam, a piece of raw material, but that human beings contain within them a chelek elukam imar, that inside of all of us, and who, more than that inside of us, but who we really are, our essence is nishmat elukim, the godliness. And the yisod of Mishpatei Hashem is that we have to reckon, we have to think, not only with the physical, not only to keep the world sane, but to make the world a holy place, a special place. Rashi's saying a big story over here. Paz Mishpatim L'chor looks to us as just straight out deen and laws, social order. You would think, as Be'emes and the Furish and Rav Bartanu in the beginning of others says this also, Moshe Kibel Torah Mi'Sinai. Everybody knows it. They sit by the Pirkei Avos Shir, at least they stand for that part. Next thing you know, Yitzkadel, get to the Kaddish. So now you've been a Kaddish, you're always mad. Oh, well, Hashem, you got up. Some guys make it through Maya with the nap. Moshe Kibel Torah Mi'Sinai, a place of Israel, Yeshua, Sechta Avos, one of the Sechtas of Shas. That Mishnah is on top of the oven. The small one, the small one.
Green,
the green.
Green
one. The green.
Top left.
Top left. The first one, the first oven. Yeah, yeah. What is Avos about, Rabbi Sachs? Sechta Avos. We read it between Pesach and Shavuos. Very interesting time. Everybody's oisim in Avos. You're going to the shul. Everybody wants to know what parents they're learning. The guys will learn, read it up. What does Avos represent, Rabbi Yisrael? What's so unique that everybody knows Avos is Gevalda and White Apple did Pesach and Shavuos? You know why, Rabbi Yisrael? Because Avos represent our ancestors who represented godliness. Avram, when he came into the world, he didn't just teach how to be a person. He taught what it means that there's a God in the world, and therefore our actions between each other are different, not only between him, us and him, but between each other are different. That's why it's called Avos, because their personalities represented a total shleimus, completeness. And they were our guides to living a life of a different standard, that we shoot for godliness, we shoot for holiness. That the standard of living of a person on this world has to become to a realization that we're much higher than we think. And that our private lives represented shleimus. It was a completeness, not just in the outside world when they acted, but everything they did, privately, publicly. They were shleimus. But they lived a life of a lekei avon, a lekei yitzchak, a lekei yitzchak. That's what Avos represents. It says the Rabbi Batanura in the first Mishnah. Why does it say Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi'Sinai? You ever saw a Mishnah starts off, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi'Sinai, he should make this. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi'Sinai, name is Ekron Shema. What do you think Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi'Sinai? The Lord of the Kasher, very nice Kasher, pass the tea. It's a Pasha, Moshe Kibbutz, it's a Mishnah and Shaz of it. One of the Shnaz and Shaz, one of the Shaz and Shnaz, that's what Ovid's also. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi'Sinai, so what are we saying then? Dr. Rav, because I would have thought that when a person goes to learn Avos, which talks about interpersonal relationships, you look through Avos, it's all about, many Mishnayot about how to deal between us and our fellow man. There's someone else in the world besides us. Us and our fellow man. I would think, says the Rav Batanura, that this is something that the Chachamim bothered me leave on. They thought, they got together, they thought, you know, what's the right way of living? What should be the standard? You know, How should it be with the pan in the morning, with the eggs? Should we have two or one? They got together, they said, we'll make rules. This will be the rule. Everybody will be masking, that's what we do. But it has nothing to do with Hashem. Zok the Rav. Moshe came to him, he's Sinai. Ma'elu mi Sinai, ha'elu mi Sinai, mamish, the Pshat and Rashi here. That I would have thought, mamish, what does it do with Sinai? What does that have to do with Sinai? Teretz says, no. Even our interpersonal relationships, how we deal between us and our friends, are governed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sinai. It's not man given laws, man given statutes how to live. It's Sinai. You know why? Because the Torah understands that a human being is not stam, flesh, blood, sinews, evarim, but godliness. That's the metzias of man. And if that's the metzias of man, so the man has to be treated in a godly manner. He has to be treated a different way. We have to treat him in the stature that he's something amazing. And that's why the Sanhedrin, who give over the Torah, who are the Dayanei HaMishpat, what is Sanhedrin's equal major job? Sanhedrin is there to give law and to decide the cases of interpersonal relationships. To decide, you know, the Chaveyah decides, you need Mishpat, you need Mizikin, it's the Shorg or this, it's this, it's that. Sanhedrin's there to decide. So very nice, Sanhedrin. Get the rabbis together, whoever has the longest beard, measure their IQ, and let's go to work. Pressing their card, 17 hours, and Givaldik! No! They sit by the Mizbeach. No one's in the Mizbeach. Everybody's like, the Mokoim of Elohim, the British from Space and Big, the Shem's all the was calling it. But they're sitting by the Mizbeach. The Mokoim of the Avodah, the Mokoim of the Karbonis, the Mokoim of the Kibbutz to Hashem, because they need Yad Nishmaya to understand the godliness. This Elokus, the Elokus of the mitzvahs. That all of Torah is that way, Beth. It's a B'nishlam's Torah. It's a different level, a different thought pattern. But especially, in the Orem L'Chaveiroi, especially between each other, especially to understand the human psyche, the human person, you got to understand them in a way of the B'nishlam, of the Chilak El-Kami Ma'al. If you need to see that, the Shemayah for that. And that's why we go to the Goyish court, the most biggest Chilul Hashem. So what's wrong? They have the same demon. They might have the same demon. They might judge similar cases. But Goyim are not shy after this whole parasha. Because Goyim use Goyim's Mishpatim are just for law and order. Just to make sure enough that no, not everybody walks around with a bloody nose. Just to make sure enough that, you know, that people don't destroy each other, don't swallow each other up. But to be able to treat somebody with respect. But be able to look at them, see somebody in his greatness. Be able to deal with somebody and uplift him. Be able to take somebody and look at him for who he really is. That's only Mishpatei HaTorah. And that only a Mila can take from us. Because a Mila represents getting rid of and forfeiting a little bit on the Gashmi, cutting away a chelek of his body, especially the chelek of a body that represents taiva, rotzen for olam hazeh, and that you koyres a bris with a kodesh baruch or a covenant with Hashem, that I will remain spiritual. I will be a spiritual person. I will use my life to connect to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to keep that covenant. That's what the bris represents of us. And the bris represents the fact that we don't live, that we're different from the goy, that our, not only our spiritual, but our bodies, our physical bodies are different from the goy. We're not going in. you live on a different plane. And that's what Nasav and Nishma represents. Nasav and Nishma represents Hashem went to all the Goyim, all the nations of the world. The Goyim both said, you want the Torah, what is it saying it? Don't steal like that. I can't do. I'll do everything. I'll daven 16, it's 5 times a day. Go look at the Muslims. They'll rob you like who knows what. We went to have work for him. You know, I was in the office, and the guy pulled out like a small like kitchen, whatever it is. I said, that's mine. No bullshit. Right in front of him, he took it out. Like 2 weeks ago, I was missing it. He was like, you know, picking his teeth with it. No bullshit. He said, that's mine. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Man, he took it. No, Shaila. The Gemara says in Sochem, Hamishas Varam Tiva Knanis Bonav. 5 things Knan commands his thing. Steal. Not if you steal. Gana the kanovin. Mecheska. If anything missing, you'll find that he's gonna look to the house, he's probably wearing it. Now he sold it already. So you ever go to the Ab Shuk, see the underwear, Wayne Weinstein, Goldstein, lying out, just looking at on the back by the Hanes. Or maybe they have Jewish men, you never know. Mamish got nothing, everything. You go, have kids, cab driver, Mamish will rob you for clean, Mamish. But some of the other people who are there, they were mushpa from the Av Kev tribe. There's one told me he came from Yerushalayim, just in the Matshlom. The guy charged him 90 shek. 90 shek. What's the guy said the small guy, he went around the village a few times. He wanted to get the shul, but he went to Tel Aviv first, on the way. But Tiva is one of the things, they weren't able to give up who they were to live the lifestyle of holiness. Klal Yisrael said, Nasav and Nishma, you know what those words mean. Nasav means we're going to do. Nishma Nasav means let's learn first, let's try to understand, and then if we understand it, we'll do. Nasav and Nishma means we want to do. We want to change our lives. We want to live the lifestyle that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to set forth for. We want to live godly. That's Nasir. Afterwards, we have to learn how to do it. But that's what Nasir represents. We want to live godly. We want to live the way you want us to live, Ibn Shlom. That we want to dictate. If that's true, the Malachim say there's a human flesh who has tithes. They should only get crowned. There's such an amazing thing that a people can come to a level where they understand that they want to live on a different plane, they want a different life, their lifestyle. They don't want to live in a way that's directed by Kodesh Baruch when his surahs are mitzvah of the Torah, which is formed and created in a way that a person can live. You could live on a different level, could be much more higher than everybody else. That's not the mission. And that's why it sent to have sparks. Because we're ready to live on a different lifestyle. Kisikna Evid Ivri Sheishanim Tav. The Torah starts off this holy parasha with the Ganov. With the robber. You know why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to teach us, if you learn the parasha of Kisitna Evid Ivri, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with this person on a different level than we would think. Sheisham Tava, Shvia Yeti Lachovshi, says the Pasuk, Chinam in Begapoy, in Bal Ishu, Yotze Ishto Imoy. Says Ramban, he goes out with his wife. Who brought his wife in, Sekhrash? He has to feed them. The husband's going to be taken to slavery, you have to feed his fortune with his family. What did I do wrong? Why did a short peasant say they're selling the slaves? He stole. Then what's to do with his family? Because I'll tell us, you know how you treat the Eved Ivri? If you have one pillow, you give it to him. You know how to work him like this, you know how to do like this to him, to treat him, no tears above the forehead, you know how to make him do work that you really don't need. Go heat up a what's it called? A pot of water, you don't really need it. We learned this morning Kedushin. You have to be very careful. If you have one match, you give it to him. The master has one thing. If you have to treat him with such high standards, that the Chazal say, a person who's kind of heaven is going to orderly act. What's the pshat of it? The Tennessee is that here it comes out so clear, so stark. That the Messias of Akash Bo sees the essence of the human. And that he's not really a Ganov. That's not who he is. His essence is a Halak and a Shama. And that's why I have to treat him in this life. He might have to be disciplined. He might have to be shown a little bit different way of a lifestyle now. But we still treat him with the greatest respect. Because the Kodesh Bo is teaching you, you're not stealing. Not the Kodesh Bo, chop off his hands. Because we hear, we understand, and we believe, and we know that this Eved Ivri is really a chelek of a kami ma'os. And you have to treat him that way. You have to be careful with him. Because he has godliness in him. And that's the Matthias. The Medrash of the Maisa, there was once a Yid named Shimon ben Shetach, and he had bought a donkey from a Goyish people. When the donkey came to him, it had a big gold chain around its neck, and Shimon ben Shetach sent it back. He bought the donkey but didn't buy the gold chain. And when it came back, the Goyim said, Baruch Elokei Shimon ben Shetach. And the Ephraim say, why do they think Baruch Elokei Baruch Shimon ben Shetach? Because they realize that only a godly person, this comes from godliness. This comes from greatness. Only a person in this image of a Hashem could do such a tzach. And that the world saw the greatest people of the Jewish people, they saw godliness, they saw saintliness, they saw holiness. That the stories and stories of Gedolim, who were in hospitals, who were with Goyish people, and they sent it, and people just realized. They just realized that there was holy people amongst them, people that represented the image of Hashem. Not because they were sitting and davening the whole time necessarily, just as it's an interaction with you other humans. That people on airplanes would be able to say, who is that man who was sitting in that row? I could tell he was saintly, I could tell he was holy. And then when Yarab Yaakov Kamenetsky was nifta, there were Goyish people that were crying because the way he interacted, the way he said hello, the way he treated another human being, made them feel that they're special. They saw that there's something unique, there's something special over here. They saw this honesty. They saw a location of each other. And that's what we have to realize about that. We have to realize in ourselves. Not only how we deal with others, but I think it first comes in ourselves, we don't realize how great we are, how special we are. how amazing we are, how much godliness we have inside of us. We're not aware of it. The Mela, it expresses itself in how we treat others. I always say a word, an unbelievable word, this week's parasha gave the same bag, it goes in the same way. The halacha is that if a person stole, a person stole a boisa, and then after 7 years, the halacha is, if he worked for the 6 years, I'm sorry, let's say the halacha is, if he wants to stay, so the halacha is, v'gisho adonai l'alakim, v'gisho adonai l'mezuzah, v'rosa adonai l'tazim l'matev, avon l'hoilah. He pierced the ear. It is our ass, the kasha. Why the ear? Why the ear? Out of all the things, that's when it gets pierced up, I say, why the ear? So Chazal, Oizin, Zoy, Sheshama, Hasinai, Loi, Signoi, V'horach, V'gonav, Teirota, the Oizin that heard on Hasinai, Loi, Tignoi, he went and he sold himself, let that ear be pierced. That to be sold, that was to be sold, but he stole. He stole for a different reason. Question is, the obvious question, but everybody learned last week's parasha, by the time. When parasha's Yitzchak that says that Dibroi, Loi Tignoi does not mean stealing. Loi Tignoi, Rashi tells us, and now everybody learns that says that Dibroi means don't kidnap. Rashi says, the going in the Foshoi. So what in the world is the Torah telling you? Always in Shoshama, Hasinai, Loi Tignoi. The Ozen that heard of Hasinai, don't steal! And it went and stole! That ear has to be pierced. But even a bigger kasha, everybody asks, why are we piercing his ear now, after 6 years? We should have pierced it when he first stole! And he got sold to slavery! The answer is Meir the Kibbutz, I want to say. It could be it's a drash a little bit, but I think it's a Gavaldic Terrible. Oizin Shoshama, he al Hasinai loy signoi. The Oizin that heard, don't kidnap. He went and he sold himself. He decided to stay in slavery. What's the pshat? See what we just said. Maybe there's a dahar off here. This person stole. He went and he took something that wasn't his. Hashem wanted to tell him, you're much greater than that, Yankel the Ganov. You're not a Ganov, you're Yankela. You're special, you're unique, you're a Ganov. You have so much in you, and during those 6 years he was treated that way. He might have felt that way all his life. He was thrown out of some many yeshivas, came to Applebaum, but anyway, he had a rough life. But Sayyidah Shaldama, he went out and stole now. He felt down about himself. He needed the money. Whatever it was, he stole. They caught him. Yankel Naganov is terrible. Not a good year. Not doing well. We sent him into slavery. As we reminded before, the slavery by a yid, by Kievit Ivri, is not a punishment. We try to teach him that what's yours is yours, and what's yours is not yours. Many of the dinim, he has children with the maidservant they give him. He stay by the odoy. We teach him to learn responsibility. We teach him that what's yours is yours, what's his is his. But we teach him self respect at the same time. We treat him like an odoy. If a pillow, give it to him. Two types of bread, shvach and a good bread, give him the better bread. Treat him like odoy. Treat him with respect. Show him who he really is. If after 6 years of being treated like that, if after 6 years he still wants to stay as a slave, he didn't learn the lesson. What lesson didn't he learn? And the Torah taught us a lesson. The Boisad. The Torah taught us an unbelievable lesson. In this week's parasha, we learned a lesson. A little bit earlier. The Torah Akdosha says, at the end, before end of Rishon, Boisad, the Torah says, an unbelievable zach. The Torah says, Umake Oviv V'imoy Moish Yumas. The person who hits his father and his mother, he has to put to death. The Gonev Ish Mecharai, the difference against the Yodom Moish Yumas. If this person stolen, steals somebody, and he sells them, and the person steals a human being, kidnaps, and he sells them, and found it is him, he gets put to death. The person curses his parents out, gets put to death. Ask the Ramban and all the Mefarshim, obvious question. What in the world is the pasuk of the Goyim of Ish Mechor doing in the middle? We have a pasuk of hitting your parents and cursing your parents. In the middle, between those two psukim, we have a pasuk, you steal somebody, you sell him, you also get put to death. What's it doing there? Pliyatsu. So the Ramban, Mishen of High Goy, Mishen of Goyim, Amazing Yisroi, who in the world would curse his parents? No one reads it. Who in the world would hit their parents? This is for the old generation, but no. Who in the world would hit their parents? Rahman al-Islam hit his parents? Who in the world would curse his parents out? Rabban's telling us. The Pasuk's telling us. Only somebody who didn't really have his parents. He was kidnapped. He was sent away. He lost his identity. That person was killed. That person would hit his parents. That person would curse his parents. What does that teach us of the person who gets kidnapped or by side? A person that gets kidnapped, the Torah tells about his yitzhak. If they seek not, don't kidnap. It's one of the assassins that did for us. Don't kidnap. You know why? Because when you kidnap someone, you take him away from his environment. He loses identity. You destroy the person. A person stole. Hashem said, go to slavery. 6 years sit in slavery. 6 years work. 6 years learn what it is to work out for yourself and learn whose money is whose and whose money is not. But also be taught self-respect. Learn who you are. If after 6 years this man wants to stay in slavery, that ear that heard, don't kidnap. He wants to stay in slavery. He's kidnapping his own self. This year that heard, do not steal, which means don't kidnap. And he went and sold himself to slavery again. You're not a slave. You have to be taught a lesson. You have to be taught the way of life. So we give you self-respect. Learn who you are. You want to stay a slave. That's not your identity. You've been kidnapped. You're godly. You're much greater than that. It's way below your dignity to do such acts. Because we're the holy nation. You heard. Don't kidnap. You know why kidnapping causes a loss of identity? You have now sealed your fate to the lost identity of your own self. I wanted to remain a slave, and I want to go the other way. Death of Shad, Oizan, Shishom, and I have what this comes to teach us, is the most, one of the most important lessons that we'll ever learn. That the Jew has to know his real identity. We can't go ahead and play with marbles. And we once spoke about when you're somebody great. You can't go out and act like a kid when you're a grown-up. And you can't go out and act like a goy when you're a yid. You can't lose your identity. And our identity is that we're holy. We're godly. And our mishpatim are not shaykh to the goyim. Because our mishpatim, our law and order, our Jewish prudence, is about understanding that a human being is godly. That he's so much more than the flesh and blood that we see. There's a chelek of a kami ma. That Rabbi Shisano, Rabbi Shiskal, who used to see on the floor these Bowery bums lying on the earth, and he'd pick them up and put them on a chair, on a bench, and give them to drink, and people would say, what are you busy with these guys for? They're bums, they're laying on the street. He says, Lord, they're telling me, look in. Every human being is a Telem Elokim. But a Jewish Telem Elokim. A Jew. A Yid. We're interacting with Yidin. I don't want to say this morning, we're interacting with other Yidin. It shouldn't be the same arguments. It shouldn't be the same give and take. The same talk. You're dealing with a yid. You're dealing with a malach. A chelek of a kami malach, not a nishma person. We're not dealing sound with a human being. That's the mishpatim b'sinai. Godliness. And all our actions. That's what we represent. We represent a different nation. I once told a story, that I think one of the visions of greatness is in volume 4, page 71, 6 lines at the bottom. I don't know, I'm not sure about that. We told a story that there was a plane traveling from Detroit to Cleveland. I forgot exactly where in the United States, some Midwestern states, and they experienced terrible plane difficulties. Mamashu was shaking, the plane was shaking, and the captain got on and said, I'm sorry to announce it to the Oilam, I'm saying that Lashon, the Oilam, but that we're experiencing engine trouble, we're experiencing whatever the problem was, and we have to prepare for a crash landing. So those of you who know, take yourself ready. Those you don't know, please ask the local stewardess, whatever, to prepare you for the crash landing. Everybody went to a wow. The scene was crazy. Everybody, who thought, what's going to be? You know, this could be the end. Everybody's praying, and all diving and praying. And all looking back and forth. People are so nervous and scared and screaming and yelling. And I think it was for the cell phone generation, so they weren't able to call their loved ones. But they're probably thinking about their loved ones. And they go down and down further, and the plane hits the surface, and away from an explosion, and Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. As they're walking off the plane, there was a Jewish, he wasn't even a big rabbi, he was a Persian Jew, and a Persian was a Yid, with a beard, a white beard, a little bit older, but he was 50, 60, a little bit white, and a gray beard. And the stewardess said, can I have a word with you, sir? Yes, I want to thank you. Thank me for what? I didn't do anything. I want to thank you for your prayers. Everybody was praying. No, she said, when everybody was looking to us for strength and fortitude, I was looking at you. I was looking at you to gain my strength. Because we represent that we're the Mamlechet Kohen and the Goy Kodesh. We're godly. We're different. We're the ones the world has to say, Baruch Elokei, Shimon ben Shetach. Wow. That's special. That's unique. That's unique.